Good morning. August 10th, 5:58 a.m. Overcast, dark this morning. There's a little bit of breeze. I'm sure you're going to hear it. Wow. The year is winding. There's nothing like taking the same picture every day to really make you notice things like the variation in sunrise. Now, if I were a little bit cleverer, I'd leave a bit later in the morning so that I'd have a little more light to work with. I have a feeling after a few days of light, we're going to start having dark pictures with little spots of lights on them for the next several months. Perhaps not. It's very dark this morning because of the overcast. It's pretty much socked in here. Wouldn't be surprised if we got a little rain. It's quite humid this morning. So what am I thinking about today? More writing stuff, I'm afraid. The commentary I made the other day about criticism and how do you deal with it prompted John Moreau to ask me to do a guest blog, and I will. I got about 500 words or so. I need to do one more pass on it this morning, and then I'll send it off. I don't want to spoiler it, so I'll just say it should be coming up in the next couple of days. But it did make me think a lot about a couple of ideas that kind of banged around a bit when I was talking to folks about the ending of Owner's Share. And one of the comments I made was that there's only one audience that I really need to please, and it's the one I shave in the morning. If anybody else wants to come along for the ride, that's gravy. And while that's true, it's also true that feedback, like reviews, like my beta readers give me, that people email me with, it does help me understand what's working and what's not, at least for other people. Now, I do take that with a grain of salt, but I do think that a lot of suggestions that I've had, that I've gotten, have really helped to make these later books stronger. I'm not 100% convinced that the action sequence style that I've sort of moved toward is really all that. I'm still very much into the notion that there are compelling stories about common people, even though Ishmael Wong is not really common people anymore. Odin's Outpost seems like an interesting challenge to create an ordinary outpost kind of place. I'm really looking at it more like a diner in the desert. There's a whole set of stories that take place in the isolated crossroads out in the desert somewhere, back in the woods someplace. I'm really seeing a Odin's Outpost being kind of like that. Not entirely, because it really is the rabbit hole to the wonderland that is the other side of the golden age of the solar clipper. Novilis actually has some very interesting points to make about my universe, and that's that I don't have any fringe players. I don't have any marginalized people, if you don't count the folks who live on corporate worlds, which is pretty much the majority of people, and they are definitely marginalized in many cases. So what happens to people who are deaf or are blind? What happens to people who, like Ishmael, if he hadn't gotten on the Lois, what would he have done? What safety net existed to keep him, assuming he managed to get deported and built up his debt when he got to this other planet, what would he do? Good morning. So an interesting question about where are the other kinds of people? We've pretty much seen that there are other kinds of people, that there are folks who don't have necessarily the best interest of everyone at heart. We also have seen that there are policemen, security officers, and we've heard about the Galactic Marines, but we have not yet seen any kind of presence in the Marines. We haven't seen any kind of military presence whatsoever, actually. It doesn't mean it's not there, it just means it hasn't crossed his path. And that's some interesting opportunities for stories, perhaps. What does the military look like in this universe where trade is everything, where profit is conquest? Some interesting ideas floating about hither and yon. But I think for me, the challenge is going to be to keep that a common person story. The Odin's Outpost one. And I need to get Ishmael back with his feet somewhere other than floating around. I've heard a couple of people complain about ownershare and the ending being too abrupt. It's an interesting observation. I get that a lot because the way I end books tends to be rather abrupt. I'm short on denouement. When the story's over, the book ends. And I don't spend an awful lot of time talking about it. Now, the romance people who wanted that to be a romance novel are sorely disappointed in me and in him. That's unfortunate, but I think I can live with it. Good morning. The Cape Grace is an opportunity to look at some of these other ideas. I've got a lot of work to do in Cape Grace to establish the believable villain. It's quite a struggle, and I'm not quite sure how I'm going to do it, to tell you the truth. It's going to be. I need a unifying story, and I have one story. The story of how Sarah Krug grows up as the daughter of a shaman in a world where only the son of the shaman has sway, where if you don't work for the company, or you're not the shaman, or a dependent, then you have to leave. Now, she could go up to the orbital. We established that earlier. The orbital is a viable refuge. But it's an interesting question. Is how does Otto confront the society? Good morning. And how does the society deal with Otto and the daughter? And we know the outcome, so there's not going to be any real surprise ending as far as what happens to Sarah Krug, which is making it a little bit awkward for me. I need to tell this story, but I also need there to be something in it other than just Sarah's story. In the first shaman's tale, the South Coast, there were two stories wrapped together that braided around each other and then came together at the end. And I don't know that I'm going to have the same kind of structure for South Coast, for Cape Grace, but it would be fun if I could. It's possible. It's interesting that the people who complained about South Coast and the fact that this was a fishing community that didn't know how to fish, and completely overlooked the reality that it was not a fishing community, it was a corporate community, and following corporate rules, following established precedent, following procedure, doing what they'd always done, to the point where they had pretty much forgotten what their business was. That was on purpose. That was not a half-assed device. I may not have pulled it off very well, but it wasn't something that I did by accident. It was something that I actually did on purpose. It's one of the common themes in a lot of my books that people and organizations get caught up in the way it's always been done. The end of the ham story from years gone by. The Paul Harvey anecdote about the woman who always cut the end off her ham before she put it in to roast. And they couldn't really understand why, and so they asked her, and she said, well, that's the way my mother always did it, so I don't know. So they called her mother, who happened to still be alive, and yeah, her mother says, sure, it's got a very good reason. I cut the end off the ham because it won't fit in my pan. And of course the daughter thought it had to do with the cooking, which it did, but she also had a pan that was big enough that didn't really require the ham to get cut. And I think a lot of what we do as people, I think a lot of what we do as organizations follows this. We do it because someone said to, and we keep doing it because it's the way it's always been done. issues that Ishmael has with standing orders, for example. A common, very common idea explored from different directions. So I need to think about this social issue of the son of the shaman is the shaman, and how a paternalistic culture that is not overtly paternalistic in terms of its hiring practice, in terms of its socialization in all other ways, codifies the son of the shaman as the shaman in order to reduce the number of people that the company has to support who are not its employees. I don't think I'm spilling any beans here. That's always been the reality. Maybe the first time it's actually been spelled out for people. And I'm sure we'll be hearing more about that as the book goes along. But it's interesting for me to look at, to take a step back on the process of writing this book, which, by the way, is going ridiculously slowly. I can't believe how long it's taking me to do even the simplest thing, in large part because I'm not following my own rule, which is butt in chair, fingers on keys. Well, today perhaps I can get a little more done. Tomorrow is doctor appointment day. I have to go weigh in. This is not going to be pretty. Too much ice cream. Too much second helping. I need to stop. I need to find better food to eat, because I am hungry all the time. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. At any rate, I'm at the back gate. And tomorrow, doctor's appointment and all, is another day.